Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
It is 8:05. You're listening to 100.5 FM. I had hoped to play you the comments by State Representative Laurel Libby from the floor of the main house yesterday during the national popular vote exercise. However, apparently the internet has chosen not to work. So we're going to miss out on that for now. Well, maybe we'll play them later. I don't really understand what's happening here. It's 8:05. David Jones is in the house. Good morning, David Jones.
Good morning, Raymond Richardson. How are we doing today?
I'm good. Our guest is Laurel Libby. She's a state representative from the Auburn area. Laurel, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it very much. So yesterday you were involved in, I think a polite word would be a kerfuffle, at the State House. I think that's the word I'll use today. And during the vote for the National Voter Interstate Compact, Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which in essence, big name, but what it really means is that the state legislature is determining how the state of Maine votes for the President of the United States. The people of Maine have no say in it. And it's a rather egregious effort on behalf of 73 people, and I guess today it's going over to the Senate for enactment and then headed to the governor's office, who has once again not said what she will do. She always talked about transparency and accountability. This is the least communicative governor in Maine history that I'm aware of, and I've been around 39 years. Laurel, talk about what happened yesterday from your perspective.
Absolutely. So you mentioned, Ray, that this is a bill that would have Maine join a national popular vote compact. And I want to specifically mention that because here's what the Democrats have done. They have said with this bill, we're going to join a compact that will give our four electoral votes, our electoral college votes, to whoever wins the national popular vote, meaning the popular vote of 50 states rather than Even the popular vote of Maine. No, the popular vote of all 50 states. And why that is particularly egregious is that when we were sworn into office, we said we would uphold the Constitution, not just of Maine, but also the United States. And if folks really wanted to enact national popular vote, it would require a constitutional amendment. That means two-thirds of Congress votes for it, and then three-quarters of the legislatures of those 50 states also ratify that amendment. But here, what Maine legislators have done instead is by a simple majority, 73 to 72, they've said, we're going to do an end run around the Constitution, and we're going to just join this compact. So rather than actually doing a constitutional amendment to enact national popular vote, we're going to join a compact and just give away our electoral college votes. And so it's an underhanded bill. The process itself was underhanded. Yesterday, when we were voting on this bill, the Democrats actually had two of their members that had voted against this bill previously when it was in the House. They had them hide, leave the chamber and literally hide in the Speaker's office rather than vote against this bill. That's how manipulative the Democrat majority is. They are tyrants, and they will get what they want, regardless of what Maine people want.
Yeah, it was rather disgusting. And then we had two Republicans who chose not to show up for work yesterday. The bill passed 73-72. Had they shown up for work, it would have been 74-73. And my feeling on this is, Laurel, and I know many representatives disagree with me, but that's okay. This, for the moment, we still have freedom in this country. That if you seek a position, you have a responsibility to show up to do it, unless there is something like your deathbed or the deathbed of your spouse or children or parents. Other than that regard, you should be there, and your other responsibilities take a back seat because you have a greater responsibility to the constituents of your district. So not only did two Democrats take a walk in a cowardly fashion, but also two Republicans just could not be bothered to show up for work.
Yeah, And I can't comment. You know, I haven't spoken to those two representatives. I don't know what kept them from being at the State House yesterday. I do know this. If they had been there, the Democrats would have forced those two state reps who were in hiding to vote against the bill, or they would have, they had four absent, including those two, they would have held the vote until those other two reps on the Democrat side showed up.
So, but with yes, with all due respect to you, that's speculation. We don't know how that would have gone exactly. That's speculation. With all due respect to you.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree. We could play all kinds of hypotheticals, right? Bottom line is the Democrats are tyrants, and they will work all of the bills that we have before us this session in whatever manipulative ways they can until they get the outcome they want. This is not the only bill that we've got coming up that is really very important and that Mainers care about a lot, and they have tabled numerous bills to wait for the opportune moment when the right number of people, you know, air quotes on right number of people are in their seats. I agree with you completely. It is our job to be in our seats. I missed a vote earlier this session that was important. I was transparent about why I couldn't be there because of a family reason. But I made dang sure I was in my seat for the next time that came up. And of course, it was tabled at that time because they're going to wait and run that bill at their next opportune time.
Right. So yesterday you were involved in a bit of a kerfuffle with the speaker. You were speaking. You were talking about the minority report. A member on the other side, a Democrat, chose to interrupt you, which is a constant tactic of theirs because they like to break your chain of thought when you're making a cogent point. They called for a point of order. The speaker, in really a very disrespectful manner, in my mind, unprofessional yeah. manner, banged the gavel as though she was, I don't know what she was doing, almost out of control is what it looked like. Representative Joe Underwood spoke up behind you, and the speaker called him down to the front and decided, I guess, to admonish him. Can you tell me what exactly happened? Because it was a little unclear because the video was cutting back and forth. So initially, when I reached out to you, I thought she had sought to admonish you, but you said that's not the case.
That was not the case. Yeah, I could understand how that would be the thought, given the video or lack thereof. What happened was, yes, I was mid-speech, and Representative Roberts from somewhere in southern Maine, I think Elliot maybe, she called a point of order. So that is when a representative thinks that the representative giving the speech is perhaps breaking the joint rules and calling into question the motives or impugning the character of another representative or the body as a whole. And so, Representative Roberts called a point of order on me twice, which I have to just sidebar here and say, I really enjoy when they call a point of order on me because it means you're over the target, right? You're hitting home and they don't like that. So a point of order is kind of an indicator that you're on the right track in my book. So she called a point of order on me twice, or I don't know, I think maybe when I called it an unconstitutional bill or saying that someone voting for this would be voting against the Constitution. And the second time that she called a point of order, and at that point the speaker, whoever's speaking, has to pause and wait for the Speaker of the House to rule on the point of order. The second time she called a point of order, Joe Underwood, Representative Underwood, basically stuck up for me, which I really, you know, I appreciate his intent very much, saying, why can't she just get her words out? Why won't you just let her finish speaking? In regards to Representative Roberts stopping my speech. And he did it loudly and abruptly, he himself kind of calling a point of order, and that was not appreciated. And that's what got hammered down, and he did get called down to the front of the chamber, which is the well of the House, and spoken to at that point. I did thank him later for sticking up for me. I certainly appreciated his motive there. And that was a kerfuffle. I would call it maybe shenanigans as well. The Democrats are pretty persistent in their shenanigans. They don't want us to get our words out and speak the truths that Mainers feel.
We're speaking to State Representative Laura Libby out of the Auburn area, who yesterday was standing up for the rights of the voice of the people of Maine to be heard when it comes to a presidential election. So that was the interesting part of it. On video, it appeared that the speaker was admonishing you, when in fact she was admonishing Representative Joe Underwood, who stood up for you, because once again, you're absolutely right, Laurel, when you're over the target, the last thing they want you to do is to be able to get your words out in a cogent and consistent manner.
Yeah.
They want to disrupt you. Sue Salisbury did that, and I don't know the gentleman's name. He was speaking during LD 1619 last year. And he was talking about, do people really understand what the abortion process is? He was asking members to look at a video before they voted on this. And she raised a point of order. And her point of order was the member should be addressing his remarks to the chair and not to the body of the House.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was nothing more than a tactic to disrupt his train of thought and to keep him from speaking truth to people that did not want to hear it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a common tactic. And like I said, I have no problem with folks on the other side of the aisle calling a point of order on me. It just means keep going in the same direction. You're saying the things you should be saying.
Yeah, it's extraordinary where we are at this moment. So we know each other somewhat. We were both involved with LD 1619. You did a masterful job of organizing people to speak and that kind of thing, but maybe one of the things that you don't know about me is I pay attention to all the campaigns in the state, both Democrat and Republican. No one campaigned on the idea of a national popular vote and giving our electoral votes to the control of other states. No one campaigned on that. And yet here we are with veterans who have fallen through the cracks of government, living in homeless tents, in the mud and the blood and the beer. We have drug-addicted people. Drug addiction is on the rise in the state of Maine. Drug overdose deaths, after rising dramatically in the first 4 years of Janet Mills' reign as governor, have leveled off, but they are still extraordinarily high. And yet the focus of the Maine House and now today the Maine Senate is to take away our voice when we vote for president. I'm not really sure how that meets the standard of swearing an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the state of Maine and the country.
I would say, Ray, it's pretty clear that that doesn't meet that bar, right? And the interesting thing to me is, you know, we spoke of those two representatives who couldn't be bothered to vote, who hid away instead, Representative Fay and Representative Landry. And you know what? The Democrats are no dummies. They chose those two because Fay is termed out and Landry is technically running, but everybody's pretty sure he's just a paper candidate, you know, a placeholder. And so they chose those two because they won't have to answer to their constituents during a race, during a campaign in 2024. And so they were chosen strategically and to kind of cover for others who might have to answer to constituents. And, you know, they had to kind of take one for the team, as you will. It's interesting, though, you know, if you look at 2022, no one campaigned on national popular vote, on erasing the voice of Maine people. And in fact, in 2022, the Democrats only won the majority by 1,417 votes across 10 House districts. So it's not like they won the majority by, you know, 50,000 votes or something like that. They actually won by a relatively slim margin. And I think Mainers don't know that. They don't realize how tenuous that hold is that the Democrats have on our state and how that could be flipped in one cycle. And here we are in 2024, an election cycle, an election year, when we have the potential to flip seats. And so I hope Mainers are paying attention and are going to, you know, invest the time it takes to help candidates win and be sure that they're at the polls in November. So we need to vote some of these people out.
If you just take the list of things that they're supporting, the wind, the solar, you know, the devastation of the farms. I mean, just so many things that these people are doing. And now they want to take away our right to vote, for God's sake. Are you kidding me? Do you think that they would win an election if they went out and said, you know, I'm going to campaign to join this compact and I'm going to steal your vote and I want you to elect me to be in the legislature?
No, of course not. We're talking with State Representative Laurel Libby out of Auburn. You know, Laurel, Governor Mills campaigned that she would not change Maine's abortion law in 2022 when she ran for re-election. And the current legislature is under that 2022 election. No one in the legislature campaigned on changing the abortion law. No one did. And yet there they created the most egregious abortion law, not only in the country, but I've actually done the homework of nations that have abortion laws. Ours is the most expansive and least restrictive in the entire world. No one campaigned on raising taxes. Yet likely you all, meaning the legislature collectively, passed what will dollar-wise be the largest tax increase in all of Maine history. No one campaigned on giving away our vote, our voice in the presidential campaign. Yet, with a new study that just came out yesterday, Maine fell actually in the tax burden race. We were number three, we're now number four. Only because Vermont has decided to overtax their people more than we do. Maine is number one in the country, number one in the country in property tax burden. We have veterans and homeless everywhere. But this rigid ideology, Governor Mills campaigned on not raising taxes, and then she chose to raise taxes with her signature and then wrote an op-ed in the Press Herald to try to convince people that what we think she didn't actually do. It was really very bizarre.
Right, it's not raising taxes, Ray. Don't you know? There's all kinds of things besides taxes. There's fees.
Fees, licenses.
long and short, Governor Mills lied. That's what happened here. Governor Mills lied. She said what she had to say to get elected. And, you know, the Democrats are doing what they want because they think they won't be held accountable. Yet their priority list is in no way, shape, or form related to any average, everyday Mainer's priority list, right? Who would have erased my voice with national popular vote up at the top of their priority list? No, I think most folks' list starts with probably be able to pay my electric bill and my for heat. This current economy is crushing Mainers who are just trying to put food on the table, heat their homes, and pay for their electric bill. So I think, you know, it's a huge, huge reach to say that Mainers want this, and it's an even bigger stretch to say that it would be anywhere on their priority list. The Democrats are playing from their own playbook. It's not from a playbook that any Mainer I know wants.
Yeah, there's no question. The words decency, honor, integrity, none of those words seem to matter in Augusta right now. They just don't matter at all. And again, no one campaigned on this idea that the state legislature would decide who Maine votes for in the presidential race. I explained this morning on the air. If the 2020 election remains exactly as it was in 2024, with the exception of Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona, Maine's one electoral vote in the second district could decide the presidential election. That's how precious these votes are. And yet the people in Augusta yesterday, two of them cowardly took a walk so they didn't have to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. And two Republicans didn't show up for work for whatever their reasons were. I show up for work. If I show up for work, they should show up for work. They sought the job. That's how I feel about it. I know other people have different opinions, and they're entitled to them for as long as we have freedom. But my voice was taken from me yesterday because we know the Senate is going to enact this. They're going to vote on enactment. We don't know what Janet Mills will do because Janet Mills is not transparent, accountable, nor does she communicate. So we have no idea what she intends to do. But at the end of the day, it looks like we are going to lose our voice if we don't change the butts in the seats in November and actually find people who are accountable to the people they seek to represent and responsible to the people they seek to represent.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot at stake in November. And, you know, I'm sure that most of your listeners know the entire legislature, House and Senate, are up for a vote every 2 years. So this November, the entire Senate, the entire House, we're all up for a vote. So things could change here in Maine. And
Let's
as
hope.
I said before, Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We only lost the House majority by 1,417 votes. That's across 10 House districts. That is such a slim margin. That's flippable, right? Flip 10 seats,
right,
and we've got the majority plus a little bit of a buffer. So it is of critical importance that we do that this year. And so when I'm not, you know, in my seat in the legislature, I'm working with my PAC, the dinner table. I'm a co-founder of the group, and we are working to flip seats and win the majority. If folks want to learn more, they can check out dinnertableaction.com.
Laurel, we greatly appreciate you being on this morning. State Representative Laurel Libby out of the Auburn area. By the way, our mutual friend Karen Gillis wanted me to extend her best wishes to you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on with you guys today. I wish it was with better news.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you very much. Yeah. 825. ABC Maine, member driven and member strong. You build communities and shape our industry. We make sure your voice is heard. For more information, email